Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I must say I was thrilled to be celebrating Christmas because it's my favorite holiday. I just love Christmas. I don't even mind that it's been commercialized. I don't even mind when I see Christmas decorations coming up in October. I think it's great. I'm very mercenary. I have to say that when I was asked today what my favorite Christmas tradition is, and everybody sharing, I'm sure, wonderful family traditions, I said, opening the gifts on Sunday, on Christmas morning. I just love that. I love Christmas. There's something that captures the imagination when we hear those Christmas stories, and there are several stories. We have the story of Mary and Joseph. We have the story of the birth. We have the story of the shepherds and of the angels. But one of my favorite stories, especially as I pile on the years, I love the stories of Simeon and Anna, especially as I get closer to their ages. You remember the story, how Jesus is brought to the temple, and there were a lot of people in the temple that day, good people, religious people, but only two saw what no others saw, and that was Simeon and Anna. Simeon came in, and he had been given a promise. Now, this is a man who had lived in occupied Jerusalem all his life. This was a man who longed for oppression to cease. This was not a free country that the people lived in. It was a terrible time, especially to be Jewish in a Roman world. And he longed for a day that his people would be free. And he was given a promise by God that that day would come and he would see it before he died. And he came to the temple that day and he saw Jesus. And then there was the lady Anna. Now here was a woman who had lived with her husband 7 years and then he died. She was a young widow when he died. 7 years of marriage and he was gone. Now in those days they did not have Social Security. In those days there were no pension plans. And good luck if you were a widow. You couldn't work. There was nothing to be done and you had to hope that the family of the husband loved you enough to take care of you because you were part of that family now. And that could be a wonderful thing or a terrible thing. We know nothing of Anna's past life except that she lost her husband young, and in those days she would have had very few resources. When you were a widow, you were automatically consigned to poverty. Didn't sound like she had any children either, because a child would have had to take care of her, but it doesn't sound like that. Now, she had a choice, this Anna. She could have turned away from God and lived a bitter and angry life, because what had happened to her was grossly unfair. And yet she made a decision long ago, and her decision was to be in that temple day and night, fasting and praying. That became her vocation, to pray for her nation, to pray for the people who came in. And she decided that she was going to live in the light of God. And because of that, when she saw that little one, she knew. She knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, and she was able to tell everyone, this is the one we have been waiting for. I love the Christmas story because it's all about hope. I love the Christmas story because it's all about grace. I love the Christmas story because it's about people who got to see something that all the religious people missed. All the priests missed it. All the prophets in the land who were recognized missed it. All the wealthy people missed it. All the people who should have known missed it. But these two elderly people saw it, because they had made up their minds a long time before that they were going to serve the Lord. I was struck during the funeral for Pastor Pinckley. If any of you saw the video, there was an elderly pastor sitting right on the right-hand side of all the speakers. And I know he had gotten up to speak at one point, but he's sitting with his cane. And of course, he's praising when people are praising, and he's shouting when people are shouting. But I looked at his eyes, and I saw the grief, the tremendous sorrow in his eyes. I thought of the young widow of Reverend Pinckney when she wrote that letter to her husband, and she said, "You promised you would stay with me, and that we would live together for a long time, and we'd see our grandchildren. And now I have to raise these children alone." And you know the grief. I thought of when I saw the woman who got up, if you noticed in the funeral, if you haven't seen the funeral, it's online. This woman got up, and she was part of the members of the board, and they had a resolution that came out, and she at one point said, "We talk about our Pastor Pinckney, who was taken from us through death." And I thought of the heartache of that congregation. And yet, on that day, they were singing Amazing Grace. And on that day, they were talking about love and charity and forgiveness. How could they do that? Because they made up their minds that nothing was going to stop the love of God, that they were going to hold on even tighter to their faith. You see, life can give us wonderful gifts, and when we have wonderful gifts, we thank Him, and we're so grateful. And life can give us tragedies, and it's at that time that we need to embrace Him and thank Him even more. And that's difficult, isn't it? But Anna made up her mind that she was going to pray and fast and be in that temple. And Simeon made up his mind that he was going to wait patiently before he saw what God had. And you remember, as he walked into the temple that day and he picked up that child, he was picking up God Almighty into his arms. And may it be said of us that when we make up our minds to follow Him to journey's end, no matter what, that we are, in a sense, picking up God and holding Him in our arms. There's so much tragedy in this life. We live in a world where sometimes we shake our heads and we wonder why. And we don't have control over certain things, but we do have control over how we respond. Yesterday, I saw a very interesting newscast where a man had been on death row for 18 years for something he did not do. He had had two execution dates. The perpetrator of this crime even wrote out a confession saying that he was the lone person, that this man had nothing to do with this murder, and he was still languishing in prison. It was years before he got out. The prosecutor had such misconduct that they disbarred the prosecutor. 18 years on death row. I cannot even begin to imagine. And yet, they're telling in this newscast how he is working for the criminal justice system. And he's working for the crime labs, and he's working to see that justice is done in every single case. Someone said, "How are you qualified?" He said, "Oh, I was on death row." He said, "We become experts in the criminal justice system." And someone said of him, "The justice system failed him in so many ways, and yet he is working. He's going to spend the rest of his life working in the criminal justice system." Why? Because he made up his mind that that was not going to define him, that injustice done to him. May it be said of us that we hold God so closely in our arms that even when life knocks us down, we make up our minds to serve him and thank him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I ask for those who are in sorrow, for those who are overwhelmed with grief, for those who are experiencing the injustices of life, that the promise of the Savior would come to them and give to us your grace that is sufficient for every sorrow. We thank you for Simeon and Anna. We thank you for their sunny faith and their love for you. And we thank you, Lord, for your Son who came to walk among us and to be a part of our lives in joy and in sorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.